Timothy for today. Welcome everybody. We have apology from Councillor Brown. We have a leave of absence which we've dealt with before, but Councillor Brown, an apology. Somebody care to move?
An apology.
And Councillor Noon as well now. Thank you. Somebody care to move those? Councillor Hope, seconded Councillor Kempton. All in favour?
Mm-hmm.
Against? Carried. We'll confirm the agenda. Any conflicts of interest today? No. No public forum. And the minutes have been circulated for adoption. Somebody care to do so? Councillor Hope, seconded. I can second those. Are there any matters arising? No. Okay, on to the papers. Okay, so we do have the director's report first. It has been circulated and no doubt you will have read through that. Are there any matters that we need to touch on? Ms. Winter?
No, I think I'm happy to take it as read through you, Madam Chair, and answer any questions if there are any.
Sure, okay then. Yeah, okay. Just generally an update on where we are at. So is there anything anybody would like to touch on in the report? Oh, sorry, Councillor Scott. Yep.
Yeah, 2.2, where it says, following the Torrey flooding in July, OSC continues to support DCC on activity classification natural hazard management and the development of their 2GP. So I just wondered if you could just remind us actually what is actually, you know, is the DCC is their position in terms of building evolving? Where do things stand and what's their involvement in it?
Through you, Madam Chair, I sat in on a meeting with one of Dale's team, Warren Henley, recently with the staff from DCC, where they went through various areas that they're proposing to change in the 2GP plan, and they were looking for alignment between ORC thinking around permitted, restricted, discretionary, prohibited places for development, and so I was involved in that meeting, but Ms Meredith may have further knowledge of that.
So you'll be aware that the 2GP is was notified back in 2015, and the staff have been progressively working through a range of issues, including how development is managed relative to natural hazards. And certainly the flooding on the Tairi made quite clear which areas were flooded, and it does appear to be making some shift in DCC's approach to how much development should be enabled where there are more significant natural hazards.
That's the part that I struggle with. They're doing some movement. I mean, what does that actually mean? You know, are we on the same page yet? Is the DCC, through its plan, going to stop allowing the building of houses in flood-prone areas?
We're not in a position to answer that because the council has not, yet released the decision.
Under a formal process, yeah.
Mm.
Thank you. Any other comments then on director's report?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Oh, sorry.
Yes. just pick up 3.2, so it's good to see it moving to the work starting to occur,
yes,
on the next stage, so shall we say, and understanding the there's a lot of work to be done to understand the detail of the urban water quality and the contaminants and how we can potentially address them. But I'm just interested in the
the parallel changes linking with the coastal plan and the water plan, what that actually means.
Yeah, sure. Through you, Madam Chair. There are a couple of plan changes that are being proposed next year around wastewater and stormwater, and once again, Ms Meredith may be able to embellish that.
Through the Chair, we looked at our workload, we looked in terms of the urban discharge issues and considered that a more efficient way to address discharges from urban areas was to treat provisions for the freshwater under the water plan and coastal water under the coast plan in the same plan change, because like with Dunedin City and with Oamaru, a large number of your stormwater and wastewater or risk of wastewater discharges are into the coastal environment. So it made sense to align our regulatory framework. There will be some tweaking between freshwater and coastal in terms of the sort of indicators and so forth, but we felt that was an efficient way to move forward. We have spoken briefly with Kaitahu Ki Otago, and they are in accord that it's a really important priority to address particularly the wastewater and stormwater issues, and to do it in that coastal environment as well.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you. No further comments then? No. Okay. Recommendation that the report be noted. Somebody care to move that? Councillor Kempton. Seconded Councillor Bell. All in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Next paper then is the National Direction for Clean Water and Otago, and we do have some expert staff members who have joined us who can provide comment where needed. So thank you very much for coming along. Perhaps do you want to give some sort of overview, or shall we
bring it up? Yeah, through you, Madam Chair. This is in response to a question from elected members around the release of the review of Council's implementation, the MPS freshwater management, by MFE and MPI. So this report focuses on both the national perspective, but also drills it down to Otago and how we fare in that report. So that's really the summary, where it's come from. And yeah, my staff and I are happy to take any questions.
And yeah, just wanted to thank everyone involved too for putting together such a very good and full summary, and also looking, yeah, not only nationally, our implementation was reviewed, and then there's a staff commentary provided as well, which is really good information for us, but should also generate some discussion as well today. So yeah, thank you. Who would like to kick it off? There is pretty full and frank discussion of our approach in here. Okay, Councillor Trevor. Councillor Kempton.
Thank you. I had, first of all, it was an excellent compendium, I suppose, of where we sit and the reconciliation across the two. I was actually quite pleased to see that we are regarded as a council that actually has, you know, we've got relatively senior horsepower in terms of regional councils. They regard us as being in that top tier with more horsepower. Exactly how that manifests itself, well, you know, I'm uncertain, but nevertheless, the fact is we have it. And so I was very pleased about that. The other thing, though, the other things that came out of this for me is that there is still one big elephant in our room, particularly around 6A and its implementation, water plan generally, and that is this question of compliance. And of course we have, I sometimes just get a little bit tired of people saying, what are you going to do to me if I don't do it? Because that seems to be the question at the top of many people's lists, is am I going to jail or not? And that annoys me a little bit, because what that actually says is, maybe I just want to do as little as I can get away with, and I know that this isn't the majority situation, as little as I can get away with and avoid jail. But in any event, one of the things that I think is quite important is the big elephant in our room is this business, and we have to overcome it quite soon, and we haven't overcome it yet, is whether we are going to be driven by Schedule 15 or Schedule 16. That is, are we going to be driven by what the State of Environment Monitoring says, or are we going to be driven by attempting to ensure that every farmer doesn't have a dribble of water coming off their property that is not going to quite meet the standards for the river? I don't know the answer to that. I have a personal preference, and there's not a debate that we're getting into here, but I certainly have a strong personal leaning. But we have to overcome that quite soon. And we haven't overcome it yet, and it's our big elephant. And so it jumps out of here at me again. And then the other thing that jumps out of here that we have to think about is, what are reasonable monitoring timelines? That is, do we expect that you go out every 6 weeks? Are we going every 6 weeks and expect to see a difference, and expect to be able to build a graph on finely divided axes? Or are we saying, we know this is a 10, 15, 20-year thing, so once every 2, 3, 5 years or whatever is enough for State of the Environment Monitoring? That was another thing that jumped out of here at me too. There were 2 or 3 key things that I think relate to us aligning with national standards, but at the same time, I think we need to overcome to take some big steps forward.
Okay. Just noting before we also have further discussion that there is a table which outlines proposed changes and plan changes to take into account the Clean Water Amendments. The recommendations are that we endorse those. So, yeah, do go on. There's plenty to discuss there, but just keep in mind that there's those as well, which are actually reasonably significant. And Mr. Bodeker, did you want to comment?
Madam Chair, just responding to Councillor Kempton's observations and summary of where he sees some farmers or some landowners with respect to the request, what's your regulatory plan? We agree, and I've been having discussions with the Director of Communications about how we might address that, and one of the ways we're going to do is we're going to start a series of op-eds saying exactly what you're saying this is actually about making changes should you believe you're in a degraded catchment and people know where they are, to improve water quality that relates to your farming or forestry operations. And talk about some of the challenges that they've got as landowners and we've got as a regulator in actually identifying cause and effect, so which is what you were saying, and that's the question about Schedule 16, Schedule 15. But it's certainly for some landowners that will be the only way that we get them to shift. But hopefully for others it'll be that general feeling. And I think if you listen to those people who have presented to us around this table from the various water catchment groups, they're taking a whole of farm approach, which I think is really, and they're saying generally what are the low hanging fruits, what are the big quick wins, and that's encouraging.
Thank you.
Thank you. Other comments? Councillor Scott.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly, thank you for providing this report to all the different parties. I think from my perspective, I've made it sort of clear that it's a work in progress. I think it's all, it's generally agreed that we've got a reasonable plan. And so, I think what this report and the feedback from the stakeholders is saying, a number of things. For example, that the stakeholders consider that the OSC should better outline how the management is being implemented on the ground. Then they say things like it's unclear how the OSC will support landowners or how compliance will be enforced. So that was taken from this report. other things that were said, you know, like regarding communication, that consider that communication could be improved, and that there was little follow-up, meaning that they were reluctant to engage. I just hope that we consider this, some of this feedback with an open mind to make us do our job even better. I get nervous when I read some of the standard responses, to be honest. It was sort of like reading the responses to a letter to the editor, where a statement's made and it's sort of hard to challenge. I mean, the statement was made that we're on track. I think from my perspective, it would have been good to have some evidence to, you know, just... We know where we started, we know where we're ending, you know, it's sort of easy to say that we're on track. Or just, without being overly negative, because there's some good work going on, it would just be nice to know what that evidence actually is. And so that we can learn from it. We've still got a little bit of time and to do our job better. In relation, Madam Chair, to the point you made that one of the key things is the table below, my take on that table is simply to amend our plan where appropriate to take into consideration these national terminology, new national expectations. Yeah, and on that basis that seems a reasonable and appropriate thing to do. I see one of them there, policy CB1 monitoring plan. It says review SOE monitoring activity to include required attribute analysis. Is that just to simply be consistent with the swimmability terminology and this type of thing?
It's a bit more, I think, in terms of what
methodology. Maybe that's what my question is.
But so we have got people that can comment on that. And just, I think it would be good to have a comment as well on just how significant the plan changes are. And also for us to consider whether the most efficient way is to do them straight away.
Mm.
Yep. So I know, Councillor Woodhead, you had your hand up, but would you like to go before or after?
Happy to hear the comments.
How significant are the plan changes, and is it the most efficient and effective to knock them off as soon as possible?
Through the chair, we I think are referring to a plan change which is proposed to align the terminology with that is currently used in the National Policy Statement of Freshwater Management. It's a matter that is freshwater management units, those concepts are causing some degree of misunderstanding, particularly with, you know, the work that these guys are doing with water quantity and the minimum flows and so forth. So we don't envisage aligning the terminology as being a particularly major plan change because we already manage water according to a range of different sort of units, and the Schedule 15 already identifies five receiving water groups, three for the rivers and two for the lakes. So we're really just envisaging a renaming. We also need to identify in the National Objectives Framework the A to D level of attribute that we are looking to achieve for our water groups. So again, that will be aligning that framework with what we have in Schedule 15 for our outcomes. And there are many cases our Schedule 15 are more stringent than the A grade bottom line.
Okay. I'd love it sometime, if we're changing the terminology, to call Schedule 15 and Schedule 16 something else, so that the layperson could actually understand what they sort of mean. You know, so for example, Schedule 15, you might say rivers and lakes water standards. Or something that people can
receiving
water quality. And people go, oh yeah, okay, fair enough. and so that they embrace it as opposed to what the heck is it?
Yeah.
Anyway, so we could throw that in there and the terminology change.
More than welcome to look at may change to terminology to clarify that Schedule 15 is about the outcome in receiving water. Schedule 16 relates to a specific rule around discharge threshold.
Yeah, so I'm not talking about removing this calling it Schedule 15, but it might be skipped.
Yeah.
You know, my English and Maori translation, dash, and even when we discuss around here, and we start talking about the...
I think we can do that without a plan change as well, just start
correct.
Marketing it essentially as
correct.
Something
way we communicate
understandable.
It.
Yeah.
Thank you.
There do seem to be some other plan changes, such as plan change to identify specified rivers, lakes and primary contact sites as well. There are others. Some of them are modifications.
Actions.
Way the plan might be structured. So is it we need to do these within a certain time frame?
Through the chair, in terms of the bathing sites and so forth, it was seen as being a very simple addition to do as part of one plan change. It comes from the same origin. The science team are already working, they already have a monitoring suite around bathing sites, so it's really just formalising that into the plan rather than being a major change.
Yeah.
Yep. Very good. Other general comments then around the report? Yep, Councillor Laws.
Can I take you to the bottom of page 21, top of page 22? We're discussing that, aren't we?
Yeah, we're discussing everything. Yep.
And I, first of all, I think it's excellent. I'm really glad they've done it, the MFE, and that the comparisons with other regional councils are useful too. Although, to be fair, each one of them's got their own issues, just like us. But I was interested in the answers to, at the top of page 22, review SOE monitoring, review monitoring and reporting systems, blah, blah, blah. And I'd hate to think that today is it, you know, that we're going to continue every 6 weeks to get an update on how far you're progressing these things and what, you know, progress has been made against them, rather than, oh, well, you've got your report and we'll see you again sometime in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just trying to get some clarification around what these things mean. So when you say that, and that you've got 2016-18 years, for example, review monitoring and reporting systems to ensure that national reporting requirements are met, what does that mean? You know, A, what does it really mean? And B, how does that schedule look? And where are the deficiencies? So in other words, I guess what I'm asking is not so much a work program, but a bullet point as to this is how we get to that point. And then you can review progress, I would have thought, as you're going along. You say, yep, tick that, still got to do that, but we're on our way. So I'm just asking for that, because I think that would be quite useful. But the other thing is, I'm a bit disappointed in some ways, not with the OIC, but you've got the OIC's view on this and you've got the stakeholders' view, but MFE didn't do an audit. You know, they didn't come and say, oh, well, you know, this is a valid criticism or this is an invalid one.
Mm.
They didn't come and do that. And so I'm stuck as a sort of a governance person, a bit betwixt and between. We're saying this, the stakeholders are saying that. What's the truth? And I'm sorry, I'm not doubting any integrity here, but I'm just saying. So can you answer that? I mean, it's a bit confusing.
We were given a draft copy of our section of the report, which we were asked to comment on. That was an opportunity for the author to review against our comments. Most of the comments were left were unaltered when we got them back. So I'm not sure. I mean, I did make a request to ask the very question: what are you doing with those comments? Are you going back to the stakeholders and asking further questions? Because, you know, I mean, there are some other parts of this that we need to challenge, and we did challenge out of fact. They remain unchanged. So we had an attempt to essentially ask the questions that you're asking, Councillor, to say you need to go back and check your sources.
Well, and that's the next thing. Now that we know that they're saying that, are we engaging those stakeholders who presumably are going to do a sort of, you know, self-interested audit again at some stage when the MFE go through this process again? I guess they will, won't they? In a year, another year or two?
Yeah, I guess they will.
Are we going to engage with stakeholders and say, in actual fact, this is what we're doing and we think this is right or this is wrong and, you know, blah, blah, blah?
The actual investigation was done so long ago that some of us can't even remember when, but it was a number of years ago, and I think
the first half of 2016, I think.
Yes, that's right.
First quarter.
So I think the summary that Federated Farmers sent, which you received a copy of, I think is an indication of where certainly they, as a stakeholder, believe we're at. And I think that was a nice affirmation of the fact that we've, and I'm not sure what comments they made, it certainly wasn't clear in the report and I hadn't had the feedback, but the fact that they are saying that stakeholders in the main now in a better place than they were when that report was written, was that effect should give councillors some comfort that things have changed.
I think also in answer to that question, we do have ongoing liaison formalised structures with those stakeholders on these issues. Like there's a 6A one and there's a technical sort of based one, and then there's a higher order stakeholder sort of guidance group, I've forgotten the exact name for it, that meets how often, every 6 months or something like that?
Yeah, six to 9 months.
One C, we have ongoing relationships with those stakeholders as well. So it is happening all the time. We are hearing back what people are feeling about our approach. Another question that you had, Councillor Laws, was you had some discomfort. I think it's recommendation C, endorse the actions underway and proposed by Council to implement the National Policy Statement for Fresh Water Management, and just how wide-ranging that statement might be.
Well, I'd just like to get some clarity, I guess, about where we're going on these issues. See that column on the right, Gretchen, mm-hmm. See, that says time, 2017-18, 2017-18, ongoing, and stuff like that. What are we doing for each of those, you know? When's this going to be ticked off? And I mean, it's just basic.
Through you, Madam Chair. We could certainly report back, if that's the wish of the Council, we could certainly take this and, you know, report back against it, if that's what you want, so you know that there's, you know, momentum and progress, and the dates can be, you know, more finely grained as we, you know, work it into our work programs.
We've got stakeholders, I mean, all of us have to a certain degree, and it'd be nice to be able to say, well, wait on, you know,
doing.
Where this is going to happen on so-and-so, and this is happening on so-and-so, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what you're taking.
Okay. Thank you.
Everyone else is okay, Councillor Woodhead.
So I don't want to sound defensive, because a good report, but it's a snapshot in time. A while ago now, we have even some of the comments at the time, because some of the stakeholders rang to tell us what they'd fed into this process, and that's fine. Interesting comments though from MFE. You know, someone coming in from a technical or planning, a Wellington based, and having a look around the regions and a comparison between. And this process was actually driven by the minister saying, "How's it going? We've put in place in 2014 National Policy Statement. How are these guys going and actually achieving it?" So. Because some councils are still struggling, and 2025 is the date in which you need to have your policy in place, which is just in some cases it's just policy, not the actual implementation. So we're well ahead of that, and foresaw some of this stuff on behalf of our community, working with our community, with plan changes, the likes of 6A. You know, there's lots of changes been happening nationally, and in the government, and you can see it here, 2014, 2015 and 2017, I think it is, there was changes to the policy statement. And there's also a bit of a, and we were talking about it at a meeting in Wellington on Monday, that the involvement of the State of the Environment Monitoring Programs and Regional Councils, for example, has tended to be based on where there's an issue. Ooh, let's do some monitoring there. So the question now is it actually a fair reflection of the state of our waterways, fresh waterways? And as a result, we're reviewing our State of the Environment program here, and the reports come in the building, and we'll see it in due course in the staff recommendations. So there's a fair bit going on here. Nationally, there's a project, National Environmental Monitoring Standards, NEMS, that's ensuring there's consistency across the regional councils, how we actually take our water samples, what we're sampling for, when we sample them, etc. So all this work that informs some of the information we've been gathering for a long time hasn't been consistent across regions, let alone across the country. So, again, not wanting to make excuses, there's some good learnings in here, and we've done some adapting. Pleased to see there's not too many plan changes, but there's lots of actions and ongoing stuff that is, or stuff that we've got underway, essentially. And I think we've got more effective ways, and you've touched on it already, Madam Chair, of both keeping in touch with and understanding how our stakeholders are feeling local, regionally, without relying on MEV.
Okay, Councillor Scott.
Look, with respect, Mr Chair, you did sound a bit defensive. you know, let's have a look at this, right? What's that there? That's their State of the Environment reporting dots, right? And Councillor Woodhead's correct. You know, there is a bias towards your measure where you need to measure. But nevertheless, you'll see a reasonable scattering of dots around our region. And in that, you'll see that the excellent ones are blue, and the good ones are green, and the yellow ones are fair, and the orange ones are poor. And if you add the poor and the fair together, 39%, let's say 40% of those dots are either fair or poor. Now we can talk about this and talk about that. We've got in 2020, we're expecting landowners to meet a certain standard. And if they don't meet a standard, they go into a consents regime. Let's not flash it up too much. We've got some work to do. And I was actually thankful for the Ministry, coming in from an independent perspective, just reminding us of our responsibilities. And at 40% of our rivers, sampling points, either poor or fair, what do you think?
Okay, thank you. Mr Bodica, would you like to speak? I think Dr Olson.
Yeah, I think just in response to Councillor Scott's point, I mean, we are doing a lot of work. Right? It's not as though we're just realising that the situation. We're doing an awful lot of work right across the education, information, monitoring and regulatory parts, that the tools that we've got in our toolkit. You're not saying it, Councillor Scott, that we're not doing anything, but we're doing a lot. No, I know. That's what I'm saying. We're doing a lot. We're well aware of where those red dots are, and the yellow dots, and that's where the area of greatest education focus is. That's where we are investing directly with community groups, because that's where some of the need is. I just want to make sure that councillors are aware, and we are reporting it constantly. Freshwater improvement is the major piece of work that this council does in terms of the discussions that I have with our staff.
Thank you. Okay. Dr. Olson, did you want to comment on someone?
Yeah. It's been few references to the review of our state of the environment monitoring network, and this is probably a good point just to mention that.
Yep.
We have received a draft of the NEWA report, and that will be being externally peer reviewed, and we'll present it to council in due course. But one very clear message that has come through is that our existing network is heavily biased towards lowland systems and mm-hmm. flatter land. So it is likely to be biased towards areas with poor water quality. So you cannot take our map, add up the red dots and orange dots and say that's reflective of what water quality is in Otago, because you'll get a far more pessimistic picture than the reality. One of the things that we're doing with the NEWA review was to get them to review representativeness so that you can do exactly that. And that's certainly the driver behind our network changes. What you'll see is a lot more dots in parts of Otago where there currently aren't any dots, up in your steeper country, up in the head of the Alpine Lakes and that sort of thing. So I think, interpret what our current network with caution, because it has grown, as Councillor Scott mentioned. It's grown organically through time in response to need, as opposed to an unbiased representative network of water quality across Otago.
Thank you. I'm sure we would all like to comment on the philosophy behind all that, but we won't, and we will note that any red dots are not a goer going forward. So, very good. We need to stick to the paper though. We're having a philosophical debate rather than the actual paper. And we do have some recommendations there, unless anybody's got any further points regarding the paper.
Happy to move the recommendations, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Let me find them. Note the Clean Water 2017 changes, note the finding of the free reviews, and endorse the actions underway.
You're happy with that?
Yes, very.
And reporting.
Yeah,
be further reporting.
Are you happy with that being added to the endorsing the actions and reported on?
What's his equid?
The idea is that we get updates every 6 weeks as progress towards the targets or the... Let's go back to page 21, 22.
Recommendation.
On the table.
Endorse the actions underway and proposed by Council to implement the National Policy Statement.
Oh, sorry, on just the table. Yeah, that's fine.
Director's report or something could
yes, update I'll support
on
that.
Those. Yep.
Yep.
Right.
And table one, table two.
Yeah.
Quickly.
Yep. Sorry, I'd forgotten that earlier conversation.
Happy with
yep,
that,
that makes
yep.
sense.
Cool. Thank you.
Seconder for that?
I'll second it.
Great, thank you. All in favour?
Aye.
Aye. Against? Carried. Which brings us to a conclusion, I think, doesn't it? Yeah. Okay, closes the policy meeting. Thank you.